What an appropriate song. Thank you, Brother Nelson V. An appropriate title, an appropriate song for part 3B of our Lessons on Hope. And as we discuss this morning, we ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Life-changing in terms of a lesson on vengeance. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. If it's the last thing I do, I'm getting her back. I'm going to get him back. It may be the last thing you do, and you may get her back. You may get him back, but you will lose your soul. The battle belongs to the Lord. The providence of God. You should have it in your notes, but providence speaks to the divine protection and guidance from God. God works, quote unquote, behind the scenes. He's ever present in our lives. But in the book of Esther, we find that the word God is not even mentioned. You got King Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes. You have Haman, one of the king's men. You have the various chamberlains and princes in the Persian Empire. You have Mordecai, the cousin of Esther, also as her surrogate father, if you will. And, of course, you have Esther, Vashti, the former queen, who was dismissed. She dissed her husband, and then she was dismissed. But then Esther, the crown was put on Esther's head. But you see the providence of God at work. And we left off, and again, we'll give you some scriptures. And why do we go back to the Old Testament? I got to pace myself tonight. This is so good, and we will not finish Esther tonight. This now goes another portion to Lord willing next Sunday. We'll see you then. Amen. So but now let's pick it up where we left off. Recognizing that we go to the Old Testament as the Church of Christ is the New Testament church. Amen. In Romans chapter 15 and the verses 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime or before time were written for our learning. Understand what Paul is saying. Paul is writing to the Church of Christ at Rome. He said those things written before time were written for our learning. Why, Paul? That we, Church of Christ, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. So in other words, we, the New Testament church, can be encouraged by the lessons of old. What to do and what not to do. I want to ask a question out loud. You can just nod your head or just say amen or say nothing and just recognize the fact that I hope you take introspection. Have you ever been so mad at somebody you wanted to do something to them? Some laugh. Some are going, some are like, I thought that today. I don't know where you stand. We need to regulate our emotions. I wonder if you've ever, I didn't hurt them, but have you ever thought about hurting somebody? Maybe not physically, but, some of y'all can fight. Maybe with your words. Maybe with your silence. Maybe with a dirty look. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. We find that there was some Esther chapter 2. Let's get into it because it's so much better. Esther chapter 2. I got to revisit a scripture that we use this morning because it'll come to play again tonight. Esther chapter 2 and verse 21. Remember Mordecai, Esther's now on the throne. Esther's the queen. Beautiful Esther, the queen. Mordecai, her cousin, consistently is at the gate. He's concerned about her welfare, and he just so happened. No need for coincidence, no need for luck. It's the providence of God. Esther 2 and 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, they had responsibility, but sometimes those, even with the job, getting paid, still plot against the authority. Ain't that something? Were wroth, they were angry, and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And verse 22. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof, in Mordecai's name. Important. Esther, again, she didn't take credit for it. She's like, Mordecai found out about this plot to kill the king. Esther certified it. If it's certified, that went into the king's official chronicles, the king's official records. Don't lose sight of that. And so what happened to these men? Verse 23, and when the investigation was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. That was Bigthan and Teresh from verse 21. And it was written, here it is, it was certified, written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. That may seem like a small thing. That may seem like a small thing. When you're in the right position at the right time to make sure that the right thing is done, you never know when it's going to come back to you. Amen, saints? It's so important for us to seek peace. If I had some readers, but they're all on vacation, they're all, I must be union. But in Psalms 34 and verse 14, seek peace and pursue it. I need you to write that in your notes. Psalms 34 and the verses 14, seek peace and pursue it. I'm planting a seed right now, saints. Please, whatever you do, this is a note. As I study this lesson, this is for me as well as you. Whatever we do, please seek peace. Amen. And so when we seek peace, Psalms 34 and verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So this good deed, this intel, short for intelligence, military term, that Mordecai shared with Esther, it was certified and written in the king's chronicles. And brothers and sisters, the men were held accountable. They were brought to justice, and it may come back again. And so here we go. In Esther chapter, when we look at Esther chapter 3 now, Haman, our lesson text from this morning, was promoted. Esther chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'll have to paraphrase some verses for time. I need to get to a certain spot. You don't know where it is, but I do. And so, thank you, Brandon. So the king promoted Haman, king Ahasuerus, promoted Haman, Esther 3 and 1, and all the king's servants in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. But Haman was a prideful man. Prideful man. Pride comes before the fall. King had commanded that he should be respected, but Haman wanted more than that. He wanted to be revered as if he were a god. Mordecai's like, I'm not doing that. So the Bible says in Esther chapter 3, in the latter part of verse 2, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. As we close this morning, we begin tonight. We pivot from this verse, Esther chapter 3 and verse 5. Esther 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Mordecai didn't disrespect him. Bible doesn't say that. He said, I'm not going to exalt you. And Haman didn't like that. So his plot was to destroy all the Jews. Esther chapter 3, verse 6, latter part. The Bible says, let me read it. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. See, remember, Esther did not reveal the fact that she was a Jew. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. Now, brothers and sisters, that lets you know Haman's heart right there. One person messes with you. One person, you have it ought against one person. Let's destroy all their people. There's people like that in this world. Unfortunately, Haman, because this one man did not exalt him, let's kill all his people. There is his heart. I'm not talking about blood pump, I'm talking about his mindset. Amen? I want to do some amen checks to make sure y'all still tracking with me. He wanted to kill all of them. All the Jews, latter part of verse Esther 3 and 6, all the Jews were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So now we drop to verse 8 of Esther chapter 3. Track with me. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad, dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Now you go from one man, quote unquote, not exalting you, now all these people are bad. Please don't paint with a broad brush on anything. Let me say that again. Listen, saints. The root of racism, the root of bigotry, is painting with a broad brush. There are people, I don't care what language they speak, what color their skin, there's evil in this world. We as Christians should view the souls of man, do all we can, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, should be in your notes. Not only seek peace, you can pray for peace, but no, you have to pursue it. When you pursue something. See, when I wanted to get married, a note to single brothers, little commercial break. I didn't just pray for a wife. I went to work. Amen, brothers. Okay, that's why some of y'all are still single. I try to help when I can. Let me move on. Pursuit means there's effort. Seek peace. It's my intent to get, it's my hope that I can live a peaceful life, but I have to pursue it. So when people mess with me, I have an obligation to be a peacemaker. When people call you and say, let me tell you about this, we need to have the courage and conviction to say, why are you calling me about somebody else? Say that out loud and watch what you get in response. Probably a dial tone. But I used to call you, I've matured. I don't want to be a part of the problem. If you have an issue with that sister, please call that sister. Would you like to pray now? No, I'm good. Click. Amen. This people. He had issue in Mordecai, but now he goes to the king and says, these people, those people are a threat to you, O king. Verse 8, Esther 3, let me get to it. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. King, they need to be destroyed. It adds no value. It's a threat to you, O king. And if it please the king, verse 9, here's the request. Let it be written that they may be destroyed. Look at that. Esther 3 and verse 9. If it please the king, kill them all. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business. I'm willing to pay. See, evil will go to great lengths. I'm willing to pay. Not the first time. Envy, evil, pride. I'll pay some silver to those who you, the hitmen, to do this, to bring it into the king's treasuries. Lord have mercy. King took off his ring, off his hand. See, when the king, that ring, that seal, it was certified. You're like a corporate seal. That raised seal, certified. King took off his ring from his hand, gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. See, at that point, Haman became the enemy of the Jews because he sought their utter destruction. What was the source of it? Pride. What was the source of it? You know, for just, you know, you exalt me. Man's exaltation will be man's downfall. Amen, saints. Y'all still tracking with me? So we recognize, verse 12, latter part, they sealed it with the king's ring. So this is now the decree. The Jews are set to be destroyed. And in verse 13, I'm select for time's sake, and the letters were sent by post unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish. Now look at the Bible. I mean, just every synonym for destroy. This was utter destruction, annihilation. The letters were sent, sealed by the king. Every province, every location where the king had authority within this Medo-Persian Empire to cause to destroy, to kill, and cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Total annihilation because of the pride of one man, the anger, the wrath of one man. Anger can be a dangerous thing. I'm sure, I'm just going to make this statement. I'm sure all of us in here have gotten angry at one time or another. Be angry. Y'all are, and sin not. You read that Ephesians 4 about verse 32 sometime. Be angry and sin not. Please, please, please don't let your anger get the best of you. Don't ever let our emotions cause us to say or do things that will cause us to lose our very soul. Amen? And so let's stay with the text as we think about what happens next. Ephesians 4:26. I told you 32. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. I want to make sure I give you the proper reference for your notes. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. Don't let that sun go down on your wrath. Be careful. So now back to Esther. Mordecai hears about this plot to kill us, to kill the Jews. Esther had not revealed her heritage, the fact that she was a Jew. Let's jump to Esther chapter 4 for time's sake. If you time me, we're not going to go further than Esther chapter 5. So you know we're in the sweet spot now. You're welcome. I don't know. Let's go on. Let's go on. Preach, Gail. When Mordecai, verse 1 of Esther chapter 4, perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, a sign of mourning, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry to have his entire people annihilated in one day, destroyed in one day, perished in one day, killed in one day. That's reason to mourn. And the Bible says that Mordecai. So here it is again in verse 2. And he came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, even the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. This is a very sobering moment. If you knew you're going to die in one day. Deep hurt, deep despair. But again, at no point in this book do you see, and God. But God is here. His providence is at work. Who's on the throne? Esther. How'd she get there? Through the providence of God. And so now there's going to be a little back and forth. Bear with me. Because now Mordecai sends word to Esther. Esther sends word back to Mordecai. Then Mordecai comes back with something. Then Esther comes back with something. Let's take a look at it. Esther chapter 4. And the Bible says in verse 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. So now Esther's aware of this plot to kill her people in one day. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. So Esther's moved with emotion, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai. She sent Mordecai some clothing and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Woman, I don't need clothes right now. Give me a change of clothes. But keep in mind, Mordecai's relationship to Esther, cousin, but basically just like a father. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. Why did you refuse the change of garment? So Hatak went forth to Mordecai, verse 6, up unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. That is the situation, Esther. That's the severity and the seriousness of this situation. Verse 8, he gave them a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, here we go, and to charge her. See, she's the queen, but Mordecai is her cousin, surrogate father. Esther? I'm instructing you, commanding you, that you should go in unto the king to make supplication, basically make a plea unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai, verse 9. And Esther, here's a back and forth. Verse 10, and again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Y'all see the back and forth? Verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know. See, there's a Persian custom. You do not go in unto the king, the inner court, unless you are invited. You'll be put to death. Let me pause again. You do not go into Persian custom. You do not go into the inner court unless you're invited by the king. You risk your very life. If he does not raise that golden scepter and bid you come in, you're dead. End of story. And Esther's like, okay, Mordecai, I love you, cuz. For cousin. All the king, verse 11, let's look at it now. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know, this is not unusual, that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Except to such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Please understand. Just because it had not rained on me, Noah didn't believe in God. Amen. You hadn't been called for 30 days, so it's not like it's a regular thing for him to call me. See, I love what faith allows us to do and to act, how faith allows us to act. Just because it hasn't been done or it's not frequent doesn't mean God can't do it. We're like, well, you see, everybody's doing this. Who cares about everybody? It's us and God. So Esther's like, everybody knows the rules. I haven't been bid in inner court, spent over 30 days. That goes back to Mordecai. And they told to Mordecai, verse 12, Esther's words. These next passages of scripture are so beautiful. I want you to write in your notes, opportunity. Opportunity. Because oftentimes, don't use the word problem. It's an opportunity. I use the example around this country. Wherever I've preached or taught a class or spoken on a lectureship, if someone's got a lying problem, they have a truth opportunity. Amen. If you got an anger problem, quote unquote, no, you have a de-escalation opportunity. And so we need to frame things in such a way where we can grow and develop. Because when somebody calls you and say, I got a problem. So what's the opportunity? I want you to just respond to them. What's your opportunity? And they may have to process that. Someone come to my office, I'm like, don't come in here with a problem. What's your solution? You got to at least have a proposed solution. Amen. Saints, be that. Expect your kids, if there's an issue, well, I got a problem in school. Hold on a second. What is it, and what do you plan to do? What's your opportunity? So Mordecai says to his cousin, like his daughter, I got to keep saying that because there's this paternal type relationship. They told Mordecai what Esther said, and Esther was telling the truth. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You are a Jew. And just because you're in the palace doesn't exempt you from being terminated because of the decree that the king signed, and Haman is the henchman. He knows you're a Jew. So you think you're going to escape? You have royal insulation, exemption? And so, brothers and sisters, I don't care what position we hold. That's why I'm thankful to God that we're just all brothers and sisters in Christ. You can have 20 PhDs. Thank God for you. We respect your education, but you're still a sister or brother in Christ. And Mordecai, more appropriately put, he says, basically, if you don't say a thing, you miss the opportunity, my daughter. If thou altogether, verse 14, one of my favorite passages of scripture in all the Bible, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, if you say nothing, Esther, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. We got to pause here because what Mordecai just said is a statement based on faith. If you don't do something, God's going to find somebody else to do it. Don't lose sight of that, saints. If you hold your peace, you don't say a word because you want to be safe. You want to be compliant. Then enlargement, so the Jews, we're going to grow. We're going to be delivered from another place. Just like in Daniel chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael and Azariah said, oh, king, we won't bow down to your image. Our God will deliver us. And if he doesn't, we still won't bow down to you. That's the kind of faith we ought to have, brothers and sisters. Put in your notes, 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Put in your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. That mentality. And so Mordecai's statement of faith in the Almighty God. He says, now back to verse 14 of Esther chapter 4. If you hold your peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God saw fit, my dear cousin, my daughter, to put you in position to affect change. Why? For just all the pageantry? Who knows? Insert your name. That you're at that school. You're on that job. You're in the midst of other people. So that you can impact them for the cause of Christ. Opportunity. Back to your notes. I hope you have opportunity. Opportunity. Seize it. There's a phrase, opportunity knocks. When the doors, when you know, make sure we are aware of opportunities to evangelize, to get to know people, to mend fences, to seek peace and pursue it. Who knows, Esther? And this is going to be the, this is what's going to get to Esther. You're on that throne. Who knows for such a time as this? This may be the why. And the Bible says, and Esther bade them return. Verse 15, Mordecai this answer. Here we go. Go. Gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Look at the power of the bravery of this woman, this beautiful woman. Go, Esther. Y'all with me, Esther 4 and 16? Come on. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Esther getting ready. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast likewise. I will prepare my mind and prepare my body, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. I'm willing to risk my life. And if I perish, I perish. God's not giving a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. You may not risk your life every single day, but we need to have the courage and conviction to make sure we protect boundaries, redirect people, rebuke what is wrong, use wisdom. Esther is now ready to risk her life. We're going to close in chapter 5. Y'all ready? To close or to move on? Don't answer that. The queen, Esther, against custom, but according to her courage and conviction. Esther 5, verse 2. And so it was. Well, I'm going to go to verse 1. I give it in context. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. So the queen is, you know, she's fine too. Y'all know that, right? I mean, she's good looking. So the queen's in, it's all decked out. You'll go in, Esther. You might as well go in looking good. So here's Esther, beautiful Esther, put on the royal apparel, stood in the inner court, not the outer, the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, verse 2, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court. Here it is, moment of truth. She obtained favor in his sight. Thank you, God. That's when she could have been, if that scepter didn't raise, if she didn't obtain favor, she would have been put to death. Don't let that slip. She would have been put to death. She risked her life. If I perish, I perish. She obtained favor in his sight. King held out the scepter, out to Esther, the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Now, here we go. So now, let me just say this. Do not plot evil against anyone, because the same trap you set may be used on you. You start that foolish gossip, it may come all the way back around, right back to you. I have seen this play out in business so many times. Mouthpiece, then they disappear, people get it going, and then we start doing our inquisition, investigation. It's like, where'd this start? Because when people are held accountable, they're like, I didn't start it. Then they start pointing, and it goes right back to the person. Then we call them into HR and say, how you doing? Not so fun then. Same thing happens in the church. Amen, walls and lights. Members in particular can start foolishness. Don't let it, when it comes to you, redirect it, close that out. Amen, saints. I got to fast forward. The king said unto her, what, verse 3, what will thou, Queen Esther? In other words, what is thy request? It shall be given, it shall be even given thee to the half of the king. Whatever you want, Esther. She put on that best outfit, you know that. King's like, whatever you want. Let me move on. Esther answered, verse 4, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. So then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, tell Haman to hurry up, and he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And so Esther basically said in verses 6 through 8, got to paraphrase for time's sake. King asked her, what's your request? Verse 6. Then Esther said, here's my request. Verse 7. And her request was, in verse 8, if I found favor in thy sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. So Haman is like, wait, I'm with the king and Esther? So Haman actually, Haman goes home, and wives, don't be like Job's wife. Y'all know the Bible. You know, again, just provide good advice. Help meet. Anytime I do premarital counseling, I make sure that the couple understands what help meet means. God said it's not good for man to be alone. God said, I will make for him and help meet. That's a suitable and fitting companion. So Haman, in verse 12, when he recognized, you know, he's been promoted, he advanced and all this other stuff. He's telling all his friends. But in verse 12, Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself. I'm the only one in there with the king. He's feeling good about himself, isn't he? And tomorrow I'm invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. When you are full of evil and foolishness, you can't even enjoy any kind of fame. Now, he's reason to celebrate. He's in a very select group of, he's the only one in there with the king and the queen. But he still had that vengeance against Mordecai. And then he tells his wife, verse 14, here we go. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. A cubit is a foot and a half. A cubit is 18 inches. So you're talking about a gallows of, 75 feet high? Build some gallows that you can hang Mordecai on. Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. I promise Esther chapter 5. Y'all, I forget. I repent because I'm going to chapter 6. Here we go. I have to. The king had a restless night. He couldn't sleep. And the king said, bring me just the chronicles of the king. Remember Esther 2 and verse 21. Remember Esther 2 and verse 21. The king's like, I'm having a rest. And when the king asks for the book, you bring him the book. Y'all remember Esther 2 and 21? All right. Y'all do remember that? Okay. All right. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to let you read it. On that night, could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. So basically, the king's like, just read to me. And these are all the things that took place. Is this a coincidence? No, sir, no, ma'am. Luck? No, sir, no, ma'am. The providence of God. It was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? This man saved my life. Did we do anything for him? Did we do anything for this man, Mordecai? Not Haman, Mordecai. Then said the king's servants and ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court. Of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Do you see what's happening simultaneously? God is looking out for his people, and those who seek to harm God's people just happen to coincide. Who's in charge? Not man, but God. Haman's coming in. I'm going to hang Mordecai. Mordecai's going to hang. And the king's like, what do we do to commend Mordecai? God seeks to bring, humble yourself inside the Lord, and he will lift you up. Haman trying to kill him. Mordecai at the gate, consistently looking out for the welfare of his people, doing right, seeking peace, not exalting man. So the timing of this, so Haman is happy. And now the king's going to bid Haman to come on in. So the Bible says, and the king's servant said unto him, you know, they said, Haman's out there. And the king said, let him come in. Haman's so happy. He's so happy. Verse 6, Esther chapter 6. Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man, didn't give a name, whom the king delighted to honor? You know, Haman is full of himself. Now Haman thought in his heart, now to whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself? It was just me with him and Esther. I'm the man. There's no other man that he's got to be talking about me. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, verse 8, Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear. Let the horse that the king rides upon. You have to get the king's robe, all the royal garments, the king's horse, and even the crown, which is set upon his head. And let him be led around the city by horseback through the street. Verse 9. Then the king said to Haman, hurry up and take the apparel, the horse, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. That sitteth at the king's gate, don't let anything fail. Do everything you just said. See, that same mouth that we can use for evil, now you got to go and command the king's chamberlains, everybody else. I can only imagine what Haman would say. Get the horse. Get the robe. Get the crown. And go get Mordecai. Because where was Mordecai? Consistently at the king's gate. Sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail. Haman took the apparel and a horse. Verse 11, he arrayed Mordecai. That's some kind of humility right there, isn't it? The man you wanted to kill and all his people, you're now getting him dressed. Now, when we are on the other side, let us not stick out our chest. Let's remain humble. He arrayed Mordecai, verse 11, brought him on horseback through the street of the city, proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman ran, hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. But he's got to go back to that same woman. Here's that wife. And he told Zeresh, his wife and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Verse 13, then said his wise men and Zeresh's wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. Oh, the message has changed. You can't beat these people. And the Bible says, and while they were yet speaking with Haman, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. I gotta stop. Don't you read ahead. I know you can. You can. I would never tell you not to read your Bible. We're gonna pick this up on next Sunday. Be the Lord's will. Do you see what God is doing? Esther had a couple requests, and it's far from over. But let's just say that the book of Chronicles came back to that, allowed Mordecai to be exalted. Mordecai encouraged, as we should encourage one another, because saints of God, we have not arrived, none of us. Paul's words in our lesson text, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward thinking toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know the story. See, not only was it the book of Chronicles of the king, but those gallows are going to be pretty important too. You see, our next episode, our Netflix little mark has run out again. So our next episode, 3C, God willing, next Sunday morning. Remember what, when you prepare evil, that same evil you prepare may come back right to you. That's a little teaser. That's a little preview for next week, be the Lord's will. I pray to God that our focus can always be on the cross. You see God's work throughout the book of Esther. I don't want to rush through it. I'm hitting the pause button now. Use some wisdom. But God's handiwork. Please recognize, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. Let us be mindful of all that we do. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. As we said this morning, as we close out tonight, we got to trust God. May our faith stay with God. We got to believe him. We got to trust him. I don't care how bad, quote unquote, it looks. The quote-unquote, I'm putting problems in quotes. We have opportunities. We should already be prepared for tomorrow. But we thank God for today. There are those who seek to do you no good, that don't want to see you grow, don't want to see you learn, would rather not have you even present in their life. That's why we don't put our trust and faith in man. We trust God. The laws that are written, there may be laws that are contrary to the word of God. Acts 5 and 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. Just keep on being courageous, being convicted. Let's support one another. That's why the Lord's church does not depend on the world. We're not baking cookies. We're not selling anything. It's a Lord's church. It's our own stewardship of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Do you trust God tonight? The book of Esther should be an encouragement to us. A woman's beauty, a woman's courage, a woman's conviction, Mordecai's faithfulness, and the providence of God. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God. You certainly can be. And a salvation opportunity awaits. Why wait? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, we recognize that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall be the end of the sinner and the ungodly? There's no opportunity once Jesus Christ comes back. We have opportunity now. There's an urgency to be saved. You must hear and believe Jesus Christ died. He came from heaven, the unconditional love of God. He loved us in spite of us, Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8. 6 through 8. He loved us. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. He came down here. He was faithful unto death. He trusted and obeyed God, his Father, our Heavenly Father. Shed his blood on the cross at Calvary. When he shed his blood, he purchased the church. Jesus is the head of the church. No man, no woman, no family is the head of the Lord's church. And he sits on the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Do you believe that? Not in denominationalism, but in the one church. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Turn from our ways and turn to God. Are you willing to confess Christ as the Son of the living God? And if so, we will immerse you in water tonight. You're baptized into Christ, added to the body, the church of Christ. Rise up to walk, to live as a Christian, knowing that the providence of God is ever-present. We serve an all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God. That's who we want to be. That's what we want to do. That's our opportunity. But God will not make us. There's no need for faith if he makes us do it. Submission versus subjugation. Subjugation is dominant exploitation. You will obey me. No, sir, no, ma'am. God says, Jesus, whosoever will, let him come. So the opportunity is yours to trust and obey or to listen and remain stagnant. But who knows that God brought you to this place at this time for such a time as this. Song has been selected. If you stand in need, you can come.